Vamos a darle la bienvenida a nuestra invitada en la noche de hoy. Es un placer inmenso tener con nosotros aquí a Ginetta Candelario. Ginetta Candelario is my guest tonight, Professor of Sociology and of Latin American and Latino Studies at Smith College. Ginetta, how are you? Welcome.
I am well. Thank you, Raquel. It's so nice to be with you again.
It's such a pleasure to have you here with us again. And, you know, I can hardly wait because we're going to speak about a person, a poet, who is your compatriot.
Yes, Rina Espaillat, who's Dominican American, Dominican born, U.S. raised.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And before we talk or speak about her, please just give us a little bit of information about you for the people that might not know you.
Well, as you mentioned, I'm a sociologist who teaches at Smith College in the Department of Sociology and the program in Latin American Latino Studies, and also the Study of Women and Gender program. I'm also the newly appointed editor of an academic journal that we published at Smith called Meridians, Feminism, Race, Transnationalism.
Yay! When was that? When did that happen? Just recently?
Actually, last year.
Last year.
I'm coming up on my one-year anniversary now.
Uh-huh. Must keep you busy.
It does.
Uh-huh.
But it's really wonderful work, and I feel very fortunate to be doing it.
Very good. Awesome. And Rina Polonia Espaillat, what can we say about her?
Well, I want to first start by pointing out that today is the International Day Against Violence Against Women, which itself was founded because of three Dominican women who were murdered on November 25th, 1960, the Mirabal sisters.
That's right.
And 21 years later, some Dominican feminists who were attending the first Latin American and Caribbean feminist encuentro in Colombia proposed that this day be used to commemorate that event and to honor women who have lost their lives in the pursuit of their self-actualization, and to move internationally against violence against women.
Mm-hmm.
So today is the 1980 to 2018, 38th anniversary
mm-hmm.
of that.
Mm-hmm.
So Rina Espaillat, I think, is very much part of that legacy of Dominican women, whether they call themselves feminists or not, who are breaking ground nationally and internationally and doing really important and interesting things.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said she was born in the Dominican Republic and that she came here with her parents to stay, to live here for a specific reason.
Yeah, I mean, like the Mirabal sisters, actually, her story is part of the story of the Trujillo dictatorship because
mm-hmm.
she comes from a family that is very well known in the Dominican Republic as being political leaders, largely progressive political leaders. And her uncle and father and mother and she as a five-year-old girl were in the U.S. in 1937 on a diplomatic mission when Trujillo organized the massacre of over 10,000 Dominicans of Haitian descent, Haitian migrants, and Black Dominicans, known as the Parsley Massacre in Masacre de Perejin, which happened in October. So we're on the 81st anniversary of that. And her uncle and father, to their tremendous credit, spoke out against that massacre, which was not something that was safe to do at the time under dictatorship. And that led to a series of events that ultimately led to the family being exiled and moving to New York City when she was just 7 years old in 1939, I think it is. And she's been here ever since.
Mm-hmm. Where did she come to, or where did they come to? Which state?
Manhattan.
Manhattan.
They lived in New York City, and she went to school there. She went to high school, college, graduate school there. She married there. She worked there as a public school teacher, but ultimately retired early with her husband, Alfred Moskowitz, who was a sculptor of Jewish Romanian ancestry himself. And they moved to Newburyport, Massachusetts. So her story is, you know, one that bridges multiple states, New York and Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. So now, I was wondering if, since she came when she was 7 years old, if she kept her language in Spanish, and did she write? Did she compose poems in English and Spanish?
She did. Her first set of poems were published when she was just 15 years old in the Ladies' Home Journal, and those were in English. But one of the things that makes her really notable is that she is an incredibly capable poet in both languages, English and Spanish, and bilingually in what we might call today Spanglish, although her father hated that idea and insisted that she be fully fluent and literate in Spanish and had a saying, you know, Español puerta adentro, inglés puerta afuera. So like English is for outside, Spanish is for inside. And she's written several poems that note that.
Is that right? Are you saying that she was writing poems that were both simultaneously in English and Spanish?
Yeah, and in fact, if you like, I can share one with you.
Oh, would you please?
This one is called Bilingual, Bilingüe. My father liked them separate, one there, one here, allá y aquí, as if aware that words might cut into his daughter's heart, el corazón, and lack the alien part. To what he was, his memory, his name, su nombre, with a key he could not claim. English outside this door, Spanish inside, he said, y basta. But who can divide the world, the word, mundo y palabra, from any child? I knew how to be dumb and stubborn, stasaura. Late in bed, I hoarded secret syllables I read, until my tongue, mi lengua, learned to run where his stumbled, and still the heart was one. I like to think he knew that even when, proud, orgulloso of his daughter's pen, he stood outside mis versos, half in fear of words he loved but wanted not to hear.
That reflects perfect her situation as a bilingual person, yeah?
It absolutely does, and it's part of what really made her so famous in the U.S. because those of us who are not necessarily poetry scholars or poetry readers won't know that she actually, late in life, at the age of 60, began publishing her collections and established an entire school of poetry and a new way of writing poetry that's called the New Formalism, that both honored this kind of classic poetry that you can hear woven through that piece, but also allowed for free verse and allowed for this mixture of languages. So mixing genres and languages and worlds, bringing in both like the everyday, and that comes from her experience as a mother and wife and, you know, very much a someone who was invested in the domestic sphere of her life, but also moving from that quotidian space to kind of the larger universal truths, right, about the human experience.
So do you have any poems in English, just strictly in English, that you would like to share with us?
Yeah, so this one I actually really like because I think it exemplifies a little bit what I was just saying about her experience as a fully invested mother, poet, wife, human in the world, and then the various worlds. This one's called Workshop. Where have you been, says my old friend the poet, and what have you been doing? The question weighs and measures me like an unpaid bill, hangs in the air, waiting for some remittance. Well, I've been coring apples, layering them in raisins and brown sugar. I've been finding what's always lost, mending and brushing, pruning houseplants, remembering birthdays. The wisdom of others thunders past me like sonic booming. What I know of the world fits easily in the palm of one hand and lies quietly there, like a child's cheek. Spoon-fed to me each evening, history puts on my children's faces because they are the one alphabet all of me reads. I've been setting the table for the dead, rehearsing the absence of the living, seasoning age with names for the unborn. I've been putting a life together, like supper, like a poem, with what I have.
Mm-hmm. Just as you said, with very simple words, but it conveys perfectly, you know, her experiences as a mother, a housewife, a human being. Did you say that she published her first book or set of poems when she was 15 years old?
15 years old.
And then nothing until 60.
Yes, that's right. Because she spent those intervening years teaching English in Queens, actually Queens, New York, raising her three sons, baking apple pies, generally invested in the life of her family.
Right, yes. Mm-hmm. I like that poem. My guest tonight is Professor Ginetta Candelario. She's sharing with us information and poems from her compatriot, poet Rina Espaillat. Now, do you have any poems strictly in Spanish by any chance?
I do.
Oh, you do?
I do. I have one that I think is really important in these times when Latinos and Latin American immigrants, Caribbean immigrants, are being so vilified in our politics and in our foreign policy and in the media. that reminds us that the reason most of us are here is because of U.S. foreign policy and intervention in our countries. But also, regardless of how we came to be here, we are here and we're part of the fabric of this country. And we belong as much as anybody else does or has or will. And that we are humans with all the complexity of that. So this poem is called Nosotros, and it's from her book Lapsing to Grace, which I love the title of. Somos del mal la espuma transparente, ansioso de lucil, de la pradera, la generosa flor no duradera, al viento al venadal, y el sol al diente, del tiempo, lo más leve del presente, y de los hombres la consciente cera que cambia forma en pasional hoguera, alma desnuda hecha un continente. Hay pueblos que se acatan, y ocultar pretenden la raíz de su sentir, que no se brindan casi en mirar sin calcular su precio ni fingir. Ay, del que se da de entero a su vivir, como se dio Jesús, de par en par.
Qué muy bien, qué bonita. Muy bien, estamos compartiendo poemas aquí de Rina Spajat. ¿Hay algún poema en particular de los que tú hayas leído, que sea tu favorito, que te guste por algún mensaje en especial?
I have to say I'm struggling to choose between two that I think again speak to this moment in our historical crossroads.
Well, we can read both of them.
Well, let's see. One is going back again to this moment where we have thousands of people who've made their way from Central America and Honduras and are now being confronted by armed military forces at our border as they seek asylum. And also for the thousands of children who are currently living in cages inside our borders, who were torn from their families. This one, I think, captures, and it was written, again, you know, decades ago, right? But it captures the connections between us as people and across our borders in this hemisphere. And it's called Bra, because again, she writes about what's right in front of her.
Okay, so this is Bra from Brazil?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
As in Brazil.
Uh-huh, okay.
Bra. What a good fit. But the label says Honduras. Alas, I am union forever. Yes, both breasts. And the heart between them committed to U.S. labor. But such a splendid fit. And the label tells me, the woman who made it, bronze as the breast now in it, speaks the language I dream in. I count in Spanish. The peso she made stitching this breast divider, will they go for her son's tuition, her daughter's wedding? The thought is a lovely fit, but oh, the label. And oh, those pesos that may be pennies and hard earned. Was it son or daughter who made this? Unschooled, unwedded, how old? 14? 10? That fear is a tight fit. If only the heart could be worn like the breast divided, nosing in two directions for news of the wide world, sniffing here and there for justice, for mercy. How burdened every choice is with politics, guilt, expensive with duty, heavy as breasts in need of this perfect fit whose label says Honduras.
Written so many years ago and still relevant right now.
Absolutely, right? Because what's happening right now is about the history that we established then.
That's right.
So
very good. I like that. Good choice.
Thank you.
Good choice, Ginetta.
You know, so for people who want to know more about Rina, she's the subject of a book that two colleagues of mine recently wrote, which is why I started actually looking at her poems again. I first heard about her about 5 years ago when I was at a conference in Washington, D.C. I had the honor of meeting her there. And it's when my colleagues were beginning this project, and they've just written it. I've read the book, and it's pretty wonderful because it introduces even those of us who are not poetry scholars or Dominicanists to her work and her life story. And it's called The Once and Future Muse, and it was written by Nancy Kang, who's a professor in Canada, and my former professor, actually, Silvio Torres-Aliang, who's a professor at Syracuse University. And it's a fabulous book. I recommend it to anybody who's interested in knowing more about her poetry and why it matters in the broader world of U.S. letters, uh-huh. right?
Yeah, very good. And I believe also that when we were talking, you mentioned that Rina is going to be in the area.
She is. I'm very excited that 5 years after first having tried to bring her, because she is 86 and going to be 87. So it does feel a little bit like time is of the essence.
Right, yes.
Although you'd never know it to see her. She's incredibly vital and just youthful in her manner. But she'll be coming to Smith as my guest for Meridians and the Poetry Center at Smith College on Thursday, November 29th. We'll be doing a poetry reading at 4:30 until 5:30. And then these two colleague friends, Nancy Kang and Silvio Torres-Aliang, will be doing a book talk about their book at 7 o'clock at Smith College, also on Thursday, November 29th. So we'll have all three of them
very
with
good.
Us, which okay. is very exciting.
All right, so this is a two-part event, but it's all at Smith College.
It's all at Smith College on Thursday,
okay,
yes.
Okay, and you said, just to be clear, the first part is Rina herself.
Rina herself reading from her poetry collections, okay, of which great. There are several,
uh-huh.
at the Poetry Center at Smith, which is in Wright Hall. And then at 7
from
o'clock.
From what time to what time?
Oh, I'm sorry, 4:30
to 5:30. 4:30
to
5:30,
yep. And
okay.
there'll be a little reception before that, actually at 4 o'clock, for anybody who wants to come a little earlier for coffee and hot apple cider and that
mm-hmm.
kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Silvio and Nancy and Rina together will be talking about her life and its work and what she's contributed to U.S. Letters and to, we could say, Latino Studies, Dominican Studies as well.
Right.
At 7:30, that will
7:30.
Be in Dewey.
Oh, okay, so that's a different
yes,
place.
Yes, different
okay.
location.
All right.
Exactly.
Now, is this is there a charge for
no.
this?
No.
No, this free
is
free and open to the public.
Free and open to the public.
Great,
yeah.
great, great. Very good. So how about if we close with the poem that you like there also? Would you like that?
I would like that. This is one that I can relate to, as I think many immigrants in general can, or the children of immigrants, because, and those of us, again, who are bilingual, because we hear not only our languages, but our names often mispronounced.
Oh, tell me about it.
Right, and we're really usually happy when someone who's not necessarily of our community pronounces it or makes the effort to pronounce our names correctly. And this one's called, "On Hearing My Name Pronounced Correctly, Unexpectedly, For Once." The voice over the wire trills my R, snares me with soft diminutives, and waits for me in our shared language to allow my words to trace, like fingers down a scar, stories we've known since childhood, places, dates, and brackets on worn stones. He tells me how our old ones slip away, forgetting now faces and names. My cousin hesitates. I take this name again and say goodnight. Odd how the gringo tongue that shifts translates you into something it can say, but far from what you were, that never gets you right, rolling you round too long, too smooth, too light, loves you at last to who it says you are.
I like that. I can certainly relate to that. And I'm sure you can too, right?
Yes, Raquel Obregón.
Oh, I like that sound, rolling
yes.
the R's.
Exactly.
So before we say goodnight, could you please repeat the date, the time, the place for all of us to make sure we go to the right place?
Yes. So Rina Espaillat will be at Smith College on Thursday, November 29th.
That's this week.
This week,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
It's a Thanksgiving gift from 4:30 to 5:30 at the Poetry Center in Wright Hall. And Silvio Torres-Aliant and Nancy Kang and Rina will be at a book talk about her life's work for the book The Once and Future Muse, the Poetry and Poetics of Rina Espaillat. And that will be at 7:30 at Smith College in Dewey Common Room.
Very good. And this is all free and open to the public.
Absolutely. I hope we get to see a lot of people there and that you get to meet Rina and hear her poetry from her own lips as opposed to mine, which can't possibly do her justice.
You did an awesome job. Thank you so much, Gineta. It was such a pleasure to have you here.
Es un placer, como siempre, Raquel.
Igual.
Feliz Día Internacional contra la Violencia en contra las Mujeres. Estaremos todas libres y bien.
Así es. Y estamos aquí para quedarnos.
Exactamente.
Bien.
Gracias.
Gracias a ti. My guest tonight was Professor Ginetta Candelari, Professor of Sociology and of Latin American and Latino Studies at Smith College. Y usted está en sintonía de Tertulia. Mi nombre es Raquel.